Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
All right, welcome to week one of Satan Unmasked. We're going to be taking this entire summer. We call summers here at Victory, summers of spiritual growth, where we delve a little bit more deeply into the depths of the Word of God to help you learn truth that makes you free at another level. This whole month, we're going to be talking about who Satan is and what the Bible says about him and the victory that Jesus wrought over him and how you're to walk in that victory. We're going to take the whole month of June and do that. Whole month of July, we'll be teaching a book of the Bible, the book of Hebrews, and I'll be talking to you a little bit more about that. And then the month of August is when we are going to do something that we're going to do now twice a year, every year. We're going to have 21 days of prayer and fasting in August, and we'll talk about the unique ways you can fast. But I'm going to be teaching you in the month of August how to fast and how to pray and how to develop a devotional walk with God. It's so, so important. And we're going to be spending 21 days of praying about what God is wanting to do in the earth. It's about kingdom prayer, not the beginning of the year. We pray about what God's doing in our own lives and our own walk with God. In the summer, I want to pray about what he's doing in the earth. And I'm writing the devotional right now for that. So we'll have a 21-day devotional available for you. And so before we get into the topic today, let me remind you, this Saturday is the Man Up Conference here at Victory. If you're a man, bring your sons, and whether you're, teenagers, all the way through 20-somethings, guys my age and even older, anybody, this is for a man. If you're a male, come on. And you just have to go on. All the details are there behind me. Coach Mike Tomlin from the Steelers is going to be here. Tunch Ilkin will be here. There's going to be a bunch of different ball players here, different people. People from out of town, great speakers. It's going to be an amazing time. It's literally an outreach, a movement of urban impact in the city. And we're partnering with them, and they're using our facility. And so I just call it our men's conference. How many of you know if they're going to do all the work and they're coming here, that just became our men's conference right there, baby. Mama didn't raise no fool. I'm lazy at heart like every other man. I like when great things happen and I don't have to work that hard. It's a beautiful thing. So if you're not yet signed up for that, there's a cost to that, but you want to invest in your life. So this coming Saturday, make sure you do that. And as my daughter Siana mentioned, that was my daughter. I'm so glad she's home. Thank you, Jesus. I love her. I promised her I wouldn't do anything embarrassing, so I won't. My girls are home for the summer, and I'm so happy. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Just freeze them and never let them leave my house. God is good. But she mentioned small groups, and she's so right that in relationships is where amazing change will happen in your life. So I really do want to encourage you, get into a small group this summer. Some of you have been called to lead one. You've been putting it off. Jump into it. It's 6-8 weeks of your life, and I'm telling you, it's life-changing. So make sure you do that. All the ways you can do that are on our website. So today I want to talk to you about the subject of Satan Unmasked. I want to pull the mask off of the illusions and the lies and the mysticism around the entity of Satan. The first thing I want to talk to you about is this. It's two simple things today. Who is he and what does he do? Who is he? Who is he? Now, is he real? You know, back in 2008, there was a survey done by the Barna Group surveying Christians and asking them, do you believe in a literal entity named Satan? 60% of Christians don't even believe he's real. That was in 2008. It's only gotten uglier since. Satan's primary mission is to deceive. What a great deception. To get you to think the one who's trying to kill you doesn't exist. Can I ask you a question? How many of those Christians do you believe think God exists? Probably 100%. So who do you think they think is harming and injuring them? Take a guess. God. There is a literal entity called Satan. He exists. 53 times in the Bible, he's mentioned as a specific entity. Jesus himself mentioned him 17 times as a literal entity. Now, you might be here today and you say, well, listen, Pastor John, I've been educated, and I understand for people that are, maybe not very intelligent or had opportunity to be educated and develop their mind. I don't believe in such nonsense. Can I suggest to you, and please understand my heart when I say this, you haven't been educated, you've been indoctrinated. And when you've been educated, when you've educated your head at the expense of your heart, your education was way too expensive. And it's expensive anyway. And I have nothing against college. I'm still paying for it. And not even mine. So I'm all for education. I think it's a marvelous thing. But never, please listen to me, never educate your head at the expense of your heart. When education tries to create in you a new God to replace the truth of who God says he is with what somebody in a room told you he is or isn't. Because that person in a room in a few short years will be graveyard dead. Don't let human beings that live and die replace a Savior who lives forever. And I don't mean that critically of anybody. And when you see the operation of the enemy and how he works, so critical to understand this. Jesus said he was a thief. I want you to see the simple theology 101 that Jesus had, John 10:10. Jesus said, the thief, referring to Satan, the thief comes only, say it out loud, only. Here's his only purpose to enter into my life and your life, to steal, to kill, destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's the dichotomy. Satan comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have life to the full. If it steals, if it kills, if it destroys, listen to me, it is not from the hand of God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life, the very opposite of those three things. And not just have life, but have it to the full. Say out loud, to the full. Now, do you know the Bible calls Satan your enemy, your adversary? In fact, the word adversary in the Greek is the word we use today, arch enemy. Any of you watch the superhero movies? I've watched some of them with my kids, and I'm not a real great superhero movie. Some of them, Iron Man's fun to watch. But there's always an arch enemy, an arch nemesis, the one who's the enemy above all enemies. The Bible calls Satan that entity. He is your arch enemy. Listen to what 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, your arch enemy, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Say devour. He comes to devour. But this is very interesting. Seeking whom he may devour. Say out loud, may devour. That means that not everybody can be devoured. He's looking for an open door to destroy, to steal, and to kill from my life and your life, from your family, from your purpose on the earth. And you need to learn how to be one that he may not devour. Some of us are generations into being devoured. We've been trained to believe the same deceptions that our parents were trained to believe. And we're teaching them to our kids. Jesus said this, truth is what makes you free. If truth makes you free, then a lie will imprison you. And isn't it interesting that the deceiver of the nations, the scripture said, Satan, the deceiver, the liar. In fact, Jesus said in John 8:44 that he's a murderer and he's a liar. And then he said this very important distinction about the entity of Satan. He is the father of all lies. What does that mean? He is the father. He is the initiator of every lie in your life that tells you something other than what God says about you. That's why the Bible says we don't wrestle or fight against human beings or flesh and blood. Our weapons are not against flesh and blood. Our enemy is a spiritual entity. Now the enemy may use flesh and blood to bring lies into your life and into my life. People could say, well, you don't understand. My mother-in-law's a devil. I'm telling you, she's a devil. Don't say amen if that's okay. That's just, especially if you're here with your spouse, because that gets you in trouble on the way home. But your boss isn't your enemy. The person who wounded you even the most deeply in your life is not your enemy. That's why the Bible said you can love your enemy. Doesn't mean what they did was right. There's no justification for what they did. But I want you to see every action of any human being, even your own actions, were set afire in a blaze of hell to lie to you. Every lie you believe that is contrary to who God says you are came not from a person, but came from the Father, Jesus said, of all lies. Why is a lie so devastating? Because Jesus said, if you continue in my word, and he said, my word is truth. Say it out loud. The word of God is truth. Jesus said, the word is truth. If you continue in the truth of my word, then you are my disciple or follower indeed. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Knowing, acting, living outside of the truth, the foundation of truth makes you free. So what will living a lie do? Imprison you. Steal, kill, destroy. Is it any surprise to us today that one of the primary things that are under assault in a culture, and it isn't because of some talking head on some silly news program of a human being that will live and die in a few years, or some professor in some college somewhere. These are not our enemy. These are people Jesus died for, whom we love and God loves. But is it any wonder the very thing under assault today is the very concept that truth exists? Thus, you hear the term over and over again in our culture, one of the most asinine statements I've ever heard on the planet. What is your truth? Now, if you mean by that, what is your experience? I'm fine with that. But to suggest that 15 different people can have 15 different truths is utter stupidity. It is intellectually ridiculous. Truth is not subjective. Truth either is or it ain't. It's like getting 20 people together and say, what is your truth regarding the sunrise? When do you believe it? Well, for me, it rises at 9:15. No, 5:15 for me. Mine doesn't rise till 6 in the evening. How many of you know that conversation? You'd sit back and say, hey, Jim Bob, Susie Bob, come here. Come on, let's go out. When it pops over the horizon, that's the sunrise. Not when you think or say or feel. No, don't hurt my feelings. Truth doesn't hurt your feelings. Truth makes you free. It makes you free. It makes you free. But what has the enemy twisted into the minds and hearts of human beings? Truth is destructive. Truth is exclusionary. Truth is bigotry. Isn't it interesting? The only thing that makes men free has been excluded from the vernacular, truth. And I'm going to show you how Christians even are buying into the very same lie. We're going to take this whole month and we're going to delve deeply. I'm going to show you who he is, where he came from, Satan, how he fell, why he fell, and why he hates you so much. It's so important to get these things. It's so important. So how does he operate? I want to take you to the book of Beginnings when Satan enters the earth, re-enters, and we'll talk to you. I'm going to talk to you about a time on the earth before Adam was here. You may not know this. There was something here before Adam. And there were some type of even, the Bible alludes to even some type of race that was here before Adam. We don't know what it was. There's a lot of subjection about it. I mean, I'll give you some picture of it. See, why won't you be conclusive? Because the Bible isn't. Why isn't it? Because it's none of my business. You understand the Bible wasn't written to answer all of my questions. The Bible was written so you could walk with God and know that he loves you. God gave you truth so you can be free, not so you could figure out every intricacy of whatever pops in my head. But I need to understand that. No, you need to walk with God. Well, if I don't understand God, I can't walk with him. Any God that can fit in your brain is not God. Or mine. Come on, man, he's God. Can the creation say to the creator, I need to understand all of you? Come on, it's impossible. You can't even understand all human knowledge. Neither can I. The most brilliant human on the earth can't have all the capacity of all human knowledge. How are we going to understand the maker of heaven, earth, the sea, and all that in them is? In the book of beginnings, in the book of Genesis, God gave Adam and Eve this precious life. They were sin free in a paradise. And then an enemy came. And God told them what to do with that enemy. He said, you are the keeper of this garden. Anything that comes to you, I've given you dominion over it. And Satan comes and he lies to them. And he comes in the form of a serpent. Now again, this is where your education could sting you. Certainly you don't believe, Pastor John, that a snake spoke, do you? Well, let me ask you this question. Is it just possible, that before the fall of man, something existed before it was broken through sin between man and animals and man himself that you and I have no concept of today? Is it just possible that you and I don't know everything and everybody who taught you didn't know everything? I know people today who tell me their animals speak to them. I've been with them. Did you see that? You want to go outside? I didn't hear that. people tell me, oh, my dog, my cat. I know when my cat wants. Cats. No, not look. Okay, I'll stop right there. I'll get in trouble. Jesus loves people that love cats and dogs. You say, well, my dog's in heaven on your side. No, I won't mind a dog in heaven because they won't do stuff that comes out the other side that you have to deal with. But we'll go there in another day. Pray for me. It's okay. Genesis 3 verse 1 says this. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God said, you should not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows, in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. Now remember, this is spoken to people in a perfect environment who have never known an adversary, in a garden that produces food without labor. A man so enriched with capacity that he named every living creature on the earth and remembered them. The smartest person you've ever met, multiply it beyond a number you can conceive, and that was the mind of Adam, the God man. In our fallen nature, look how magnificent the human mind still is in its fallen state. And every once in a while, you'll see somebody who reaches that place of genius, and you think, oh my goodness, how can their mind work like that? Adam made them look like they were 3 years old. So how did they speak to animals? I don't know. But it seemed to not confuse them. Somehow they communicated. I don't know. You say, well, but I need to know. No, you don't. So I have to know. You'll be dead in a few years. You'll find out. So, well, that was unpleasant. No, I promise you, you're going to die eventually. You can get every question you want answered. But I suggest walk with God while you have breath in you. And don't try to be a genius, because you're not one. Okay, just if you're thinking, that's a thought to consider. I want you to see the primary mission of Satan was to question the veracity of the truthfulness in God. Has God said is the primary operational motive, if you will, operation of the enemy, to get you to question the veracity of what God says about you, to get you to question your relationship with him, to get you to question the things that Satan questioned in his fall. And literally he said, you could be like God. If you'll follow me, you could be like God. Listen to me. See, I'll show you where Satan thought he tried to be like God, and it cost him everything when iniquity was found in him. And the evil, the horrific evil in Satan, so subtle that these two people believed his lie. Adam was with Eve, by the way, when this happened. They believed it, and sin lodged in them, and they died. They didn't die physically first, they died spiritually first. The literal Hebrew says, in dying, you will surely die. Spiritual death, which is separation from God, occurred when sin lodged in Adam and Eve. They believe the lie that there is something good for me outside of God. All sin, all of our activity from the lies of the enemy is for us trying to bring good into our life outside of God's plan. And that's the work of the enemy. To tell you, to whisper, if you will, in your ear, there's good for you outside of God. Did God really say that? Did God really say that? He didn't. He's keeping something good from you. He's holding back from you. He convinced two people in utter perfection that the God of all creation that they walked with and talked with in the cool of the day wanted to harm them. Is it any surprise that most Christians think God is the one stealing, killing, and destroying in their life? It is a lie from the father of all liars. I don't care where it came from, a church, some Bible study, or from goofball on television. It doesn't matter. It is not the person. It is from the father of all lies. It's critically important that we get this is what any attacked Adam and Eve's identity in their relationship with God. And they bought the lie. Because what Satan desires for you and for me is to have his distorted image in you. He wants his broken, evil image, his distortion that occurred at the fall, at his fall, which we'll talk about in these 3 weeks. That's what he wants for you. Because let me tell you why he hates you. He hates you. He is so insidiously evil. You think of every unimaginable human activity of evil that you've ever seen. Put it together. It all came out of the father of all lies. Every insidious disease you've ever seen, every wicked, horrible, hurtful, painful thing that's ever happened to humanity, you put it all and attribute it to him. That's the evil. And that's the one who's lying to you. Why I would ever want to cooperate with that entity, you could only through deception cooperate with someone who wanted to steal, kill, and destroy from you. Only deception could bring you into that place. And it's brought all of us there. The same subtleties that operated with Adam and Eve can operate in me and operate in you today. He hates you because you were made, the scripture said, in the likeness and in the image of God. Guess who else was created that way? Satan, when he was known as Lucifer, the archangel, the cherub that covered the presence of God. And when iniquity was found in him, that image changed. And he wants you to live in that image. Not in the image. Every time he sees you, he sees who he was. He sees who God is. Whether you serve God or love God or not, every human being is made in the likeness and image of God. And he hates humanity. That's who he is. And that's why it's so critically important that you understand who Jesus said he was and what Jesus came to do. Because I'm telling you, he wants people set free. Satan was so clever and so effective that two people who had perfect bodies, within moments, hated their own body, were ashamed of their own body and their nakedness. Prior to the fall of man, they were naked and not ashamed. They were covered with the very glory of God. Sin came, the glory departed. They saw their bodies outside of the presence of God, and shame stung their heart. One of the primary weapons Satan uses in human beings is shame. I know how it destroyed my life. I know as a kid growing up, you say, well, did it happen from this reason? Did it happen for that reason? Maybe there are reasons. Maybe they're as simple and as clear as maybe what happened to Michelle growing up. Her father left and abandoned them when she was 8 years old. That's clear how that could damage a person. But her father wasn't the enemy. Thankfully, years later, he came to one of our meetings and gave his life to Christ. That's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. And he's going to heaven, thank God. But he's not the enemy. The lies that she believed growing up didn't come from her father. Came from the father of all lies, who used her father as a pawn to distort the image of God in her heart. That's what Satan wants to do to you, and that's what he did to me. I grew up and I can't give you all the tangible reasons, but I just believed I couldn't do what other people could do. I wasn't as good as other people. I went into a room and I felt less than. And God saw in me a leader. You hear people say, they're a natural born leader. I was a natural born chameleon. That's what I was, a chameleon. It's not wrong to be a follower if you're following the right person, if you're following God. But I wasn't just a follower, I was a chameleon. Because everywhere I went, I thought people saw me the way I saw me. So if you needed me to be the purple chameleon today, I'm purple for you, or I'm green for you, or I'm yellow for you, or I'm white for you, or I'm green for you, or if I'm black for you. For whatever color you needed me to be, that's who I am. I'll be whatever you need me to be. I'll be your chameleon. In me there was an image of a leader, and it was destroyed by an enemy who lied to me. And I believe nothing good could ever happen in my life. I've told you this before, but it bears repetition because many of you live in the same way I live. As a teenage boy, who does this? I'd walk into a mall. I'd walk down the mall and I'd look for men walking with wives with kids. I don't know why. I'd watch them and I think, I can never have that. I'll never be able to have a wife that will love me and kids. That can never happen for me. And I can remember thinking, how did that guy get that lady to love him? How did that happen? And it's still a mystery. But every day of my life, this is not an exaggeration. I don't mean every other day. Every day of my life, I look at the life that I have with my wonderful wife and my three kids. And I think, how did that happen for me? There was something in God that was stolen from me. But it's that same 15, 16-year-old kid who was the chameleon, who started to do whatever he needed to do to salve and deal with the issues of his life externally. Whether it be through drugs or addiction or sexual whatevers. People aren't going to live in pain. As the chameleon here, the chameleon there. But all the while, there was the leader of the pastor, a church like this. To lead a church where God, and please, I pray you understand my heart. Oh, God, please don't misunderstand this. No flesh can glory in the presence of God. Everything, anything that has ever happened in my life that is good, it's all the mercy and grace of God. Please hear me when I say this. But what God saw in me was not the image that was distorted in me by the Father of all lies. And today, I lead not just this church, but I lead many, 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 many other pastors. Why? Because that was the call on my life. That was the grace on my life. And the enemy tried to kill it when I was a kid, just like he did for you. And it doesn't have to stay that way. That's what the enemy wants to do. And I want the statement to come up behind me because it's so important. All sin, everyone say all sin. All sin, either committed by you or against you, is an attempt of the enemy to distort the image of God in you. All sin, even the ones you commit or the ones unfairly that were committed against you. And I'm including abuse, physical abuse, verbal abuse, sexual abuse. Every sin that you've ever committed, every sin that's ever been committed against you has been perpetrated perhaps by yourself or by others. But the Father of all lies used them like a serpent in the garden to tell you lies about who God says you are. And when you believe those lies, you will live in prison your whole life. Only the truth will make you free. That's why it's so critical. That's why we tell you, get in a small group. Because in a small group, you're going to be able to break apart God's word with people where you don't have to put on a mask. If begging would work, I swear to you, I'd get on my hands and knees and I would beg you, stop putting on a mask when you come to church. Stop pretending when you come here. This is a hospital, not a museum. You come as you are here, and I don't care what your issue is. That's why you'll hear us say it over and over again. I want you to see it written behind me. And there's a reason I say it over and over again. We exist. We exist as a church to help all people. Say it out loud, all people. We want all people to realize that God loves them unconditionally. Why? Because that's the truth that will make you free. The minute I say that, the enemy speaks in people's ears. And he speaks one of two lies. The one lie is, you're saying that, Pastor John, you better qualify that. You better qualify that God loves everybody unconditionally. Because you say God loves everybody unconditionally, you're saying everything's right, nothing's wrong. Did I say that? If you thought that, then who told you that? I didn't say that. Something whispered in you. Something tried to distort that statement. Or you might be on the other side. Well, if God loves everybody, that means que sera, sera, baby, whatever you want to do, just do. Nothing's right. Nothing's wrong. Because God loves me. Who told you that? I didn't say that. Yes, you did. You said God loves me unconditionally. You're right. I didn't say I didn't say that. Where did that come from? Just like that. Jesus said, when the word comes, the enemy comes to steal it. How does he steal it? He doesn't come and go, ah! He distorts it. And makes God say something he didn't say. Hath God said? Because when I found out the love of God, chains fell off of my life. When I found out that God was good and that he loved me in spite of my misery and my horrible lifestyle I was living, that he loved me just like I was, just like the Bible said, it is the goodness of God that will lead man or woman to a life of repentance or a turnaround. So why do I want people to know? I don't care where you're at. I don't care if you got up this morning and every imaginable curse word, you looked at God and said it to God. Man, I wouldn't come to church after that. God might kill you. Who told you that? Who told you God wanted to kill you? Who told you? I go to church. I go to a place the walls will fall in. Who told you that? God loves. You can curse his name till the day you die. It will not change that he loves you. It also won't change the outcome of a life believing that kind of lie. But you don't have to live in the lie. Jesus came to rescue you, rescue me from the lie. This month, I'm going to show you how to walk free. I'm going to show you what the Bible says, how you overcome the enemy of your soul. Lastly, we're going to look at one more thing today, and we're winding this down, the first step of this. I hope this is helping you. This is meant to set people free. To set people free. The second thing is simply this. How does Satan operate? How does the murderer, the father of all lies, how does he actually operate? I want you to see two pictures. The first and the last Adam. Jesus was called in the Bible the last Adam. Why? The first Adam had a miraculous birth, if you will. He was born without sin. He was born, if you will, calling, he was the Son of God, in the sense, born of God, sinless. He was not God in the flesh, if you will, but he was a child, a son of the living God, born in the earth. And then sin came. He accepted the lie, and spiritual death lodged in him. And how about this? Adam lived 900 years. Well, actually, please, intelligent people should know better. Well, then be intelligent. Here's the reality. Any of us understood the life of God that was permeating through the flesh of Adam and Eve before sin had ever touched them, it took sin 900 years to kill their physical body. 900 years, and it wasn't their diet that saved them. It took sin that long to kill what God put in their flesh. And now we think we're doing great if we live to be 100. Oh, it's my tofu diet. They didn't have any tofu. You should eat well and take care of yourself. That's all fine and good. Live as long as you can, well as you can. That's all good. But I want you to see God's original intent started in a garden. And by the way, it ends in one for you. It started in a paradise. And by the way, in Christ, when you leave this earth, where does it end up? In a paradise. God wins. And those who walk with Christ and know him win with him. I want you to see what Satan did when he came to Jesus. Jesus has now been revealed to be the Son of God. Satan has heard God himself say it at the baptism of Jesus. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And by the way, he had done nothing yet, but God said, I'm well pleased with him. He's my son. And Satan remembered when man fell, God said, I will have the seed of the woman come and he will take the authority that you have stolen and taken from Adam, he's taking it back. And Satan knows this is the one who's come. Target Jesus. I'm coming to steal, to kill, and destroy him. That's why every other time Jesus preached, they tried to kill him. And he walked right through them until he gave his life away. He made it clear, no one's taking this life. I give it to you. When they came to arrest Jesus, He said, whom do you seek? They said, we seek Jesus of Nazareth. He said two words, and this is the name for God. He said, I am. That's all he said. And that is the name of God. God in the flesh said, I am. You know what the Bible said? Every one of them, including the priests, all the soldiers, fell over backwards on the ground. Can you imagine coming with a spear to arrest one guy, and now you're looking at the sky? How'd I get down here? I had to be a little awkward getting up, huh? What he was saying is, no man takes my life. I give my life. I want you to see what Satan came to steal from Jesus is the same thing he came to steal from Adam, and the same thing he's coming to steal from you and from me and from your children. To prevent you from, Satan wants you to build a prison for your kids to live in, like the one you live in, built on the lies from the father of all lies. Let me read it to you. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, this is when he left the baptism of John, filled with the Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted. Everyone say tempted. Tempted for 40 days by the devil. In those days, he ate nothing afterward. When they had entered, he was hungry. Everyone say it loud. Jesus was tempted. Now this bothers people. Jesus couldn't be tempted. No. He's called the last Adam. The first Adam was tempted and failed. The last Adam would be tempted and not fail. Temptation means there had to be some proclivity in him where he would be tempted to yield to this. In fact, my Bible tells me he was tempted in all points and manners, just like we are, yet without sin. Oh, he couldn't be tempted. Well, let me ask you, if I said, how many of you are tempted to drink 3 quarts of castor oil this morning? Any takers? Dude, no, I don't want that. But there are things that you would be tempted. Temptation means there's something in you that could believe, just like with Adam, that there's good for you outside of God. I want you to see what he did. Now, verse 3. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Jesus answered and said to him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The first thing he said to him, if you're the Son of God. The first words out of the enemy's mouth to Jesus were this: you're not who you think you are. You are not the Son of God. You're not who God said. You are not the Son of God. That's not who you are. I know he said, you are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, just a little bit ago, 40 days ago. But no. If you're he's trying to get him to question the identity and the image of God in him, just like he does for you and for me. If you are the Son of God, then you command these stones to become bread. Jesus fought the enemy, not with some weapon from spiritual eons of the past, but he said, it is written. He quoted the word of God. The word of God says, do you know what Jesus was calling the word of God? What we call today the Old Testament. Well, you know, that was written by, listen. The Son of God said it was given by inspiration. He called it the word of God. And by the way, he said, well, someone told me otherwise. They're wrong. So that's pretty bold. No, I just choose to believe what Jesus said over whoever you believe. So I don't agree with you. Fine, you'll be dead in a few years. Find out if you're right. Okay, let me tell you something I did years ago. I won't do it again because people got mad at me. You ever make people mad at you and it wasn't necessary? One Sunday, we were back not even on this property. I got up and I said, and I was so solemn. I said, guys, I got to share something with you. And I just went on and on. Finally, I just said this. I said, I found out I'm dying. And man, it was like, you know, people, if they care about you, some people might have went, I don't care. But, you know, some folks were like, dog, you know. And then I said, I just don't know when. By the way, you're dying too. You just don't know when. You can tell people are like, shut up. I can't believe you just did that to me. Death is the equalizer, guys. You realize you don't get to live on here forever? I so look forward to being with Christ forever. And I want to live in humility now. I don't want to get there. And see, when you get there, ain't Jesus holding the sheep, petting it, going, you know, like they see, like you see him in movies almost where he was like a woman. Nothing against being a woman. But they make Jesus look like he was a man. Dude was a carpenter. And by the way, he didn't have power tools. He was a grisly dude. The Bible said that day there'll be fire coming out of his eyes. I promise you, all the opinions in the presence of a holy God are going to go. I choose to do that now. I just think that's common sense, which, by the way, ain't so common. Verse 5. Then the devil took Jesus to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in the moment of time. And the devil said to him, all of this authority I will give you and their glory, because that's what departed from man. For this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomsoever I wish. What's he saying? Remember, he knows Jesus is the one coming to get back the authority that Adam stole. He said, I know you're coming for this authority. He now is going to give him a way around doing it God's way, not the way of the cross, not the way of giving his life. He said, look, Adam delivered this authority to me. It's mine. And he was right. He said, and I know you've come to get this authority back because God told me, and I know you're the one. So I'll tell you what I'll do. If you'll just bow down and worship me, I'll give it to you. And what I want you to get, the authority that Adam lost, that Satan now owned, Jesus was going to get back. And by the way, part of this series is I'm going to teach you how he then gave it back to you and how you need to exercise it the same way Adam should have. You need to understand there's more authority in your pocket as a believer than you've ever imagined possible. And listen to what Jesus said to him again in verse 7. Therefore, Satan said, if you will worship me, all of it will be yours. Jesus answered and said, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Again, twice you see Jesus quoting the word of God to battle lies. Why? Because the word is truth. He didn't argue. He didn't come into some thesis statement. He simply said this: you're a liar, the father of all lies. I know you're a liar. So let me tell you what God said, because what God says is truth. Is it any wonder that the veracity of this book is so questioned today that Christians are afraid to say they even believe it? because the culture has become so pervasive that you have to be kind of stupid to believe this is true. Wonder where that lie came from. Yeah, but they're educated, really. Watch them when they die and stand before God. Look what happens to the education. Nothing wrong with education. Smartest human being in the world, the smartest of the smartest of the smartest, let's assume, which is they could never do this, they know 50% of all human knowledge, 50%, which would be unimaginable. But let's assume you could be that smart. That means there's 50% that they're still in the dark. You got somebody that has half light, half dark, smartest human being ever lived, and you're going to let them direct your eternity? Really? I'd rather let the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who knows the end from the beginning, and the beginning from the end, the God of all creation, the God of all glory, the Word made flesh who dwelt among us, the one full of grace and life and peace, the one who died for me on a cross, who came from heaven to earth to bear my sin stain. I want His Word to be truth in my life. That's how you win in life. It is written. Last temptation. Then he brought Jesus to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said to him, if you are the Son of God. Again, look what he's doing. He goes after his identity and his purpose. Sound familiar? If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written. Now listen, now Satan quotes the Bible. He will give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in their hands, they'll bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Satan quotes the 91st Psalm. Jesus answered and said to him, well, it's also written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until a more opportune time. The last temptation is the one probably most prevalent in our culture today. Half-truths. Satan quoting the Bible. The father of all lies quoting scripture, which is truth, but putting it in a context that makes it a lie. Jesus, just go ahead, throw yourself down. Didn't God say in his word, you big, it is written, big boy? Didn't he say that he won't let you fall? He won't let you even dash your foot against the stone? Jump, big boy, jump! Doesn't the word say you should jump? Jesus said, nope. Here's what the word says. It is written, you don't tempt the Lord your God. And he left him for a season. You better know what the Word of God says. You must know the truth that makes you free. It is written. It is written. It is written. Must be. It's truth that makes you free. And here we find with Jesus, the half-truths. Let me give you one and we'll close. You know, Pastor John, the Bible says you shouldn't judge. God is love. Who am I to judge what's right and wrong? That sounds right. I can tell you certain scripture. That's part of that's fully in the Bible. You know, the Bible, I can't tell you how many Christians I've heard say, Bible says don't judge. Who am I to say what's right? That's not, I can't tell you what's right and wrong. I can't judge. I won't judge. What do you think about that issue? I don't want to judge. Bible says don't judge. That's a lie. That's a half truth. Bible tells you to judge everything. It just tells you not to judge people. You can't judge the person in the sin, but you can judge sin as sin because God's judged sin as sin. Period. It's not true. Okay, let's make it simple. I'll prove it to you that every one of you will judge, and if you don't, you're a horrible parent. Your daughter's 16 years old. Joe Bob comes to your house. He's 17 years old. He comes in, he's smoking a joint. I'm here to pick up your daughter. Pastor John, you do that too well. There was a time. And then he kind of, you know, the smoke clears a little bit. And your son upstairs says, son, I'm burning leaves. No, don't burn leaves, baby. He says, hey, man, we're going to be back in a while, but I'm going to try to have sex with her, okay? And she doesn't want to, man. I'm going to force myself on her, okay? Dude. How many are you going to make a judgment? Here's what I would say to my wife. Baby, call the police. Well, nothing bad's happened. I said, it's about to. So why would I call the police? Because they're going to have to arrest me. How come? Because there was going to be a dead boy on our front yard. Why? Because I will have to kill you now. Any dad in his right mind going to go, who are you to judge? Honey, Joe Bob's here. Bye. Have fun. Honey, you're frightened. Who are you to judge? You better have some judgment in your life. How many of you know Joe Bob's going to leave the house either on his own or he's going through a window somewhere? You better judge right from wrong. It's not wrong to judge. If God judges it wrong, clue, it's wrong. End of story. But that doesn't mean you judge people. That doesn't mean you're unloving. Because if we're going to judge people based on failures in their life, then we're all ruined. There's a big difference in knowing the love of God for people and redefining the very word of God for people. So people come to me all the time. Well, if we love all people, how come then we just don't say everything's okay? Because I love people enough to tell them the truth, because the truth will make you free. But the Bible says speak the truth in love. Not in harshness, not in bitterness, not in judgment. And while you let the truth make you free, we'll walk with you through any fire you're in. And no one's going to point a finger at you. But don't ask me to redefine God for you, because that's what the devil tries to do to Adam, to Jesus, and to me. And he's not going to use you to redefine God to me, because I'll be dead in a few years and you won't be there. Live in the truth. And I want you to see how subtly Satan has deceived even Christians. Because if you don't know how to live in truth, you're going to live in bondage. So we're going to cover these in the next 3 weeks. I'm telling you, there's going to be so much in the Word. I hope you're going to learn. Summer of spiritual growth. You come back. I'm telling you, you can walk in this freedom. It's for you. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the privilege it is to serve you, to love you, to walk with you. We honor you with all of our hearts. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here and you don't know Christ as the Lord of your life, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never given your life to the one who's given his life for you, Jesus turns no one away. He's the only way, truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through him. He died for you. He paid the debt you could not pay. Jesus said there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And eternal life is at the footstool of your life. And you can accept or reject a Savior today. With every head bowed, every eye closed, you're either here or watching online and you want to receive Christ into your heart. I'll pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church in a moment will pray a prayer out loud and together with you right where you're seated. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And by the way, you keep coming back here no matter what you're dealing with, no matter how ugly you think it is, because we will walk with you. We are not here to see through you, but to see you through. It's because we don't make you free. Peer pressure doesn't make you free. Truth makes you free. That's what Jesus died to do, to create in you the image of God again that the enemy has destroyed. If you desire to make Jesus the Lord of your life, with every head bowed, every eye closed, simply right where you're seated, raise your hand and I'll pray for you. Do it right now. We're going to pray right where you're seated. Thank you. God bless you. Heads are bowed. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. One last moment. Thank you. Thank you so much. Listen, thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Listen, if you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt, the debt that was due me. I open my heart to you, Jesus. And I receive you now to be the living Savior of my life. Thank you for making me free. Thank you that my sin debt is canceled. I am now a child of God. I am your very righteousness. I will walk with you, and you are the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Give them a hand, would you? God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.